Cheryl, can you guys hear me okay? Oh, cool. Thanks. Really enjoyed that, Anne. And coincidentally enough, the prayer you started with from Acts 1 was the prayer I was also inspired to start with today. I was so struck by that prayer and thought, what a wonderful way to begin this time with all of you. And so when you when you couldn't find the one that you normally do and used this one, I was like, ah, oh, that is so great. Great to hear it, and also as an affirmation that yes, this is what I'm to use. So again, where it talks about Acts 1 talks about prayer as a time of gratitude. And excuse me, I think Karen Worth's meditation this morning, she was talking about a Ramana Maharshi teaching, and I think it talked about gratitude in that as well. But this says prayer is a time of gratitude for his love and wisdom. Prayer is a time of surrender because you seek nothing less than his love, wisdom, and guidance for you. Thus, pray in this way. So, I mean, we're given a direct prayer. Pray in this way. Do it like this. Father, I do not know what is best for me now in this time and this place, that I may be led back to you. Because I cannot see the path I am ready to walk, take my hand and send me your voice to guide me. I shall go where it asks me to go, and I shall do as it asks me to do in joy and peace and certainty. And the second step to listening for guidance in this is you must trust. You must not only trust the voice and the guidance you receive, you must also trust yourself, for the guidance comes from you through your knowing that is beyond conscious choice. To doubt yourself is to doubt your guidance. So you must trust yourself and trust what comes. Yeah, well worth repeating and remembering. Yeah. I was just very struck by that in particular from Acts so far. So let me grab a drink of water. I'm a little dry. Also, you're sharing and about no, hearing clear guidance, feeling prompted in a very clear, concise way to go to New Mexico, and the noticing of the hesitation and the delay, and I'll get to it, and all of those little ways that self-will tries to say, I don't know anything about this. I don't know anything about this. And so maybe I need to sit with this a while and check with my premises before I actually move forward right away. So it's kind of funny how it's great that you noticed, though, that you noticed, all of what was happening, and that's when we're able to laugh at ourselves. And there's almost like that sense in the back of the mind that you're going to go. It's almost like the last little warriors with their tiny swords and little poking spears are still trying to get us to pay attention to it instead of the voice of guidance. And so as we, maybe all become more confident and assured and certain that when that clarity is there, maybe the time in which it takes me to actually act upon it will shorten, you know. That just comes with trust and faith. And so I appreciate you noticing your resistance, but also following through. And in the follow through is where we witness to the ease of that guidance expressing itself through a reservation that, you know, seemed to move effortlessly, a communication that seemed to move swiftly, you know, the ease with which your execution of yes happened is the witness to the guidance that it's true guidance. And so I appreciated you sharing a simple example of hearing it, having some resistance around it, but still following through in the end, and what a blessed experience that was. So yeah, thanks. So today, let's see, our thought of awakening also goes along with what we're talking about, rest in whatever happens today. In whatever you seem to see or experience on the outside, and whatever you seem to experience within. Rest today and let it be. Observe it, but make no decisions about it. Let innocent perception guide your way of seeing. Let innocent perception guide your way of seeing. Yeah. And the tip for today talked about as we let go of our resistance, and we let go of our thoughts, and we let go of our beliefs, and we let go of our emotions, and we let go of the Disneyland attraction of external subjectivity and objectivity. The ego comes on strong. Lots of little swords and lots of little rusted spears and, you know, lots of pricking and stabbing and, you know, attempting to draw my attention back towards habitual conditioned patterns and past experiences and all of that and dependence on that. And I thought that was a, and by listening to that old voice and by re-engaging in those old habits and all of that, what's really going on is I'm giving my consent to continue to believe that I'm unworthy, unworthy, which to me translates very strongly into I'm not good enough. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not good enough. And guilt, either I'm guilty of something somewhere along the way, or you are. That guilty one mostly likes to see you as guilty. And if I'm guilty, it's yeah, much more benevolent than your guilt. Yeah. And so that ego rebelling, as we start to notice these old beliefs and old habits and old ideas and old everything, it's all of it is an overlay on purity, all of it, every single bit of it, even the good stuff, you know, that we at least in my experience, I noticed that tendency to certainly want to maybe prioritize, give more of the spotlight to the good stuff, and hang on to the good stuff, which is, you know, still a set of beliefs and ideas, over the bad stuff for sure. But the ego attacks, in my experience, feel how I would describe it, the most disturbing aspect of it for me is I just don't really like conflict. I don't really like conflict. I just, it makes me anxious. I feel anxious. I don't like when people fight. I don't like when people are loud with each other and aggressive. And I don't, any, or not hitting each other is just like, beyond upsetting to me. And so ego will take on any of those positions in a very quick flash of giving it power to do so. And then experiencing that and seeing how unpleasant that can be. Why would I give power to that? Why would I? That is listening to fear. I am the first experiencer of that fear, in whatever form it appear, conflict being one of those. Conflict is, can be splintered into a zillion fractals. But none of them pleasant. And yet, in the illusion, this ego attack, the ego is very deceptive. It's an imposter, it's a trickster. And it can take each of those, fragmented fractals of fear and actually convince you that pain is pleasure. We have, examples of that all the time in our own lives where we choose the suffering over the joy. We choose the delay over just following through and experiencing the peace of the flow right away. And it's just a matter of, I think Bentinho said, pay attention to where you're placing your consciousness, and you can, rearrange, optimize, and prioritize. It's just a matter of noticing what's going on within the mind from a distance. Like Karen always says in the meditation, you're watching it, you're observing it, you're watching without judgment, you're not involved, but there is that still noticing of it. It's just you're not involved. You're simply observing without judgment. And NTI today spoke to don't give the battle in your mind power or attention. And of course, that battle in the mind is the ego attack as it feels its foundation being shaken by the conscious decision to notice these crazy thoughts in the mind. Know that I am not the thoughts or the mind, and return my attention or my power to within. And so that ends the rebellion. There's if it's given no power, it's not it's, it returns to the nothingness from whence it arose. So yeah, just observe, watch it peacefully. In this way, your power and faith are with peace, rather than with the ego rebels, with the battle, with the attack. But habit energy is that we are distracted into the conflict. And I know when I get distracted into the conflict, it's very upsetting. And so, yeah, I don't want it from myself. So at any rate, another drink of water. I have been reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul, and we are almost through with the entire book. We're in the last section, which is chapter 7, And chapter 7 is Elise Morgan. And I am starting at the top of page 239. I read that page last week, but I'm going to go back and reread it again. And so if you have the book, Experience Your Perfect Soul, I'm starting on page 239. And thanks for anybody listening here in the room and anybody on the radio. We can be grateful for the truth of what is. So, oh, and this is from this piece that I'm reading is from the section called The Mantle of Faith. And it says, awaken this day to your living, breathing self. Know that the divine is all powerful. And it rests with man to gain his own eternal self. Obey your inner call. Watch truth, not evil. Watch love, not condemnation. Watch the divine self, not the earthborn, fear-filled, incomplete expression. Work in stillness, lessening thoughts, lessening speech. Brings an awareness of life, reality. The way is open when you are still. Increasing love, increasing joy deepens the sense of divine security. Beloved, living in me will relieve you from all sense of strain. Living in me will relieve you from all sense of strain. And that's to me, and that's what your story was an example of. When you surrendered to the guidance, and everything flowed after that. There was no sense of strain. It just, there was full relief. There was no anxiety whatsoever. It was handled through your surrender. That's what your story said to me. So again, living in me will relieve you from all sense of strain. You are too sudden, too emotional. You are too sudden, too emotional. Yeah, and that's so true. Even in Anne's example, you know, where we get the guidance and go, huh, you know, and there's that acknowledgement that I heard the guidance. And then we start to think about that guidance, and up comes some sort of, you know, doubt or upset or, you know, some kind of maneuvering or, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? Or should I do, you know, I'll wait till tomorrow and think about it. Or, I mean, all these things come in. So it seems suddenly right behind the guidance. And so the attention becomes focused on that rather than just the simplicity of the guidance. You know, reactive, yeah, reactive rather than being still. Yeah, you are too sudden, too emotional. Dwell on steadfastness of purpose and repeat I will remain still, centered in love, honest in my love, with no fear. Live humbly and receive the power. Be very quiet. Quiet throughout your soul. Power brings quietness, understanding. And what came to mind with that line, power brings quietness, understanding. In my experience of conflict, it's generally not quiet. There's generally some kind of, hooting and hollering going around, or some sort of raised voice, or trying to get my point across, and so, or talking over somebody, or putting the hand up and saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, or trying to get a word in edgewise. All of those things or those pictures, none of them are quiet. It's just wanting to exert my little self-will, as if, any of what it wants or says or is conflicted about is meaningful at all, except to, this notion of an ego. This imposter self that is what is pretending to be me. So, in that conflict, I mean, just looking at it, there's not conflict at this moment in time, but I can certainly reflect on, moments of conflict, times of conflict, not only my own, but those that I've seen external to myself. And during that, I'm not experiencing, I'm generally not experiencing the love within myself. I'm in fear more than anything, or at least anxiety. It's uncomfortable. It seems so unnecessary and so unpleasant. And it doesn't feel quiet at all or understandable. And yet, it is a decision to lend my power to it by making it real, assigning meaning to it, thinking it changes the Holy Son of God into something that he can't ever be. So it's also an opportunity to practice, to still see the external circumstance, and really right away, as any sort of feeling might come up or arise in a very quick manner, or the attention might be, like almost like snapped outside of yourself. Those can be also split second decisions to see quickly. This is conflict. This is fear. I can choose differently. And my power is shifted from placing its attention on whatever seems to be going on to within instead. And that's where the quietness is. That's where the understanding is. That's where the peace of mind emanates. So yeah, let not disturb your peace of mind. And Regina addressed that when she was talking about guilt. Yeah, you guys will laugh. When she was talking about guilt and unworthiness and shame, I came up with the acronym GUS. So I now refer to those three as GUS. So when I notice GUS going on, it's clearly The decision to focus and give my power to the imposter self and what it's telling me, what it's saying, what it's believing, what it's trying to convince me is something about me. It has nothing to do with the truth of who I am. It is not me at all. It is nothing. It's an imposter. It cannot disturb my peace of mind. Yeah, let not disturb your peace of mind. And right now, as I'm sitting here, with my sitting on my lounge chair and the quiet of my space, and everything's groovy, and I do lend my faith and attention and gratitude to the truth of that statement that there is nothing that can disturb my peace of mind. And yet I recognize in my direct experience that when things happen, my peace of mind does seem to be disturbed. And so there's that resolve within me also to just pray at that time. I don't know, what to do now, and I don't know what to say now, and I don't know anyway. I mean, whether it's a disturbing time or a lack of peace of mind time, I don't know in that situation, and I also don't know in any other situation. I don't know is really the deal. And there's power in that. I don't know, because in that is the submission and surrender to the power of God, where the quietness is. That is living humbly, saying, I don't know. So it says, be still and feel the words singing in your soul. I am lighthearted. I am happy. I am free. After the song has started, it will return and return. Lightheartedness denotes faith. And even our A Course of Love study group this morning was addressing this in just a different way, that integration of living the happy dream, that experience denotes faith, because all around us there are still many things we see going on that are temptations to disturb the peace of mind. But the willingness to be lighthearted, to still see what's going on, but to be so strong in the acceptance of who I really and truly am in reality, which cannot be disturbed, is where my attention is focused now. And so that brings lightheartedness with it, no matter the external circumstance. And that denotes faith. I mean, the more faith that we have that lightheartedness is my nature, the more we experience the lightheartedness. And the next line is receive my joy, my love. Look unto me. You are still half uncertain, half uncertain. That's that reflection of a split mind. That's that experience of mine where sometimes I have this joy, this lightheartedness, faith, happiness, freedom, words singing in my soul, stillness, peace of mind, quietness, understanding. And sometimes I don't. So look, I get caught, I give my power and get caught in a habit or a personal a personality quirk or a I believe that I'm an emotion, that all of that. Those half uncertain times. So again, look unto me, you are still half uncertain. Come unto me, fully alive, fully joyous. Be gentle, true to the immortal one in man. Dwell in shining content. Truth speaks to truth in the silence. Speaks if you are willing. Speaks without words. The Holy One in you is all sufficient. So again, truth speaks to truth in the silence. Speaks if you are willing. Speaks without words. The Holy One in you is all sufficient. Govern your first impulse to move. Wait a second until you know why you would move, why you would speak. Wait before speaking. Wait until your soul addresses you. Wait until you are ready to answer in gentleness and love. Wow. I'm going to read that again. Certainly reminds me of A Course in Miracles, where it says that the ego always speaks first. So this is indicative of this first line, govern your first impulse to move. Watch over that first impulse to do something, to move, to act. So the next piece of advice is, wait a second, just wait a second until you know why. Why would you move? We could ask ourselves in that moment as we're waiting, just in that 3 to 5 seconds, like Bentinho says, just wait a minute, wait and ask yourself, what is the purpose behind the words that I'm desiring to speak if they're already in the mind and you're wanting to act on them? What am I using it for? Am I trying to make a point? Give somebody the business, tell them what I think, give my opinion, tell them they're wrong or I'm right. What am I doing here? Why am I moving with these words so quickly? What's the purpose? And be honest with myself. And if I notice any of those reasons, I just don't speak. It's pretty clear. Just keep my mouth shut and acknowledge within myself the noticing of that, the impulse to want to move in that direction, but don't act on it because this is saying govern your first impulse to move. It's like I don't know if I don't know what kind of a vehicle Jacqueline rented when they drove across. For the move, but sometimes moving vans have a governor on them, and so you can't go over a certain speed limit, no matter how far you push the pedal down. and I remember that in a couple of moves. So it limits the speed you can drive at. And so this is limiting this impulse to move. It's like saying, hey, step back from that. Don't go full throttle forward with your initial impulse. Wait a second until you know why you would move. And so self-inquiry, I mean, we have to ask ourselves, what's up? What am I doing here? What purpose? What's my purpose for this? What am I using this for? Is this in service to Kathy, the personal self? Me, I, my. And then there's a decision to make about what I do with that in the noticing. But I can't notice if I'm, moving right away. So, yeah, good advice. Govern your first impulse to move. Wait a second until you know why you would move. And why you would speak. Why would I speak in this situation? Do I need to speak in this situation? What is it my mind is, directing me to say? Is this the mind of God? Is this saying or these words I'm to give, do they serve both of us in peace? Is it for everyone? So again, wait before speaking. Wait until your soul addresses you. Wait until you're ready to answer in gentleness and love. And I just got to say, there'd be a whole lot less talking going on if we literally did that. Wait. Be still and let the soul absorb timeless truth and love and wisdom. Timeless truth and love and wisdom. Dwell on one being, the divine self, the eternal one. See one being, feel one being. And that just so reflects how we've been asked to look at the idea of separation, separation. Again, that waiting a second and seeing why I would move or why I would speak. Is there separation in what I would say or how I would act? Or is there joining, union, oneness, service to capital S self, which is one being, one divine self, the eternal one? So remember, a silent prayer, a word of light floods man's entire being. Holy stillness brings the divine comforter to man. Holy stillness brings the divine comforter to man. And I know A Course in Miracles often refers to the Holy Spirit as the comforter. And the Holy Spirit is not separate from a me. It is me. In stillness, in stillness, holy stillness. brings the divine comforter to man. So there's that unification as A Course of Love speaks to acknowledging the human aspect, and merging that seamlessly with divine truth, allowing that vessel of humanity to be the empty shell, or like I think Jay talked about it, like a grape, where the inside is filled with the juice of life through receptivity, through surrender, through willingness, through remembering, through letting the entire being of man be flooded with the word of light, the silent prayer, the holy stillness. And that becomes then the direct experience of yourself as divine comforter to yourself. There's only one self. Yet while we still have this half uncertainty, we learn to embrace humanity fully with divinity. And offer all of it up for healing, union. It says, many troubles come from a restless heart, a discontented mind. And just to, in this moment, remember silently that I am not mind. We generally think of mind as composed of thoughts. Yet, can we see thoughts, feel thoughts, experience thoughts in any real, visceral, touchy-feely sort of, like I can pick up a pen that's sitting next to me and have a tactile experience of it, and see the solidity of it and all of that. But can I do that with a thought? Yet it seems very real, very noticeable, something that seems like some sort of an appearance, even though there's not letters in my head that are that make up words that I think of as thoughts. I mean, there's no finding a thought at all. I mean, there's nothing there. And even beyond that, to say that the mind is composed of all of these thoughts, then to try to find that mind, what is that? And yet there's such faith put in that, as if it's me. Is that true? Is it possible any piece of mind or thoughts could be who I really am? This even speaks of a restless heart. And heart is often affiliated or associated with love, only love. But if my discontented mind, which is where I've placed my attention, and if it's discontented, it must be focused on fear. That would seem to create an experience that I might call a restless heart as well. The heart cannot, in truth, be restless. Its restlessness comes from paying attention to this discontented mind, which is composed of these, I don't know, bubbles of thoughts that I'm believing in and still believing that are real and have some effect on who? On who? Me? Who am I? Again, this is saying many troubles come from a restless heart, a discontented mind. Beloved, sit in the stillness when overcome by many thoughts. Wait on me and let the message clear itself. Stand by what you would receive. Imbibe the reality of truth. When the thinking, planning self is willing to wait on me, I lead you in the light of understanding. I lead you in the light of understanding. Yeah. Anne is saying the identification with the thought is almost immediate. And yes, that's my experience too. I mean, it's amazing the speed at which some sort of a response appears in my mind daily. I mean, and watching that, yeah, that thinking, planning self. I noticed that during meditation today. Part of my, when Karen says, she's just asking us to do some inquiry into the thoughts within the mind. I mean, what are your distractions right here, right now? And just look at them. And I was even distracted past that initial instruction, where she was still talking and going on about some other piece of instruction, and I was still distracted. I was over at our the house that we're having built. I was over there deciding what I needed to tell the tile guys that were laying some tile today, and making sure that I communicated to them. And so I noticed that, and caught myself several times and had to draw my attention away from this future planning and this conversation that I was going to have at some point later in the day, later in the morning. Yeah, and my attention was not fully with the meditation. So yeah, just noticing how quickly even what we would call taking care of tasks that will be addressed, but it at least my ego wants to be busy thinking and usurping that time of sitting in silence. And really, really just releasing any power giving to what needs to be done in some future time that doesn't even exist and won't even go that way. So, yeah, watching that. Yeah. But so instead, this is saying when the thinking, planning self is willing to wait on me, and I take that, waiting on me, not only as literally waiting on divine self, being with divine self, allowing divine self to speak to me, to help me, to guide me. To show me everything gracefully, with ease. Why wouldn't I want to wait on that aspect of myself to, it's like the direct means to eternal bliss, number 88, chapter 1. Your true self deserves your attention. Wait on yourself. Wait on that self to respond. Don't listen to the thinking, planning self. That's, little will. As if you have a will of your own. That is the very will that Gus rules. Guilt, unworthiness, and shame arise from listening to that thinking, planning self. That's the self of fear. And so, again, we're told, on the previous page, just govern your thoughts, not in a judgmental way, just observing them. See what's, going on. There's some kind of, transpiring going on, or conspiring going on, or any of that madness. So govern our thoughts, and then just wait a second. Just wait a second. Let your soul address you. Give it a minute. And when, that softening occurs, that gentleness, that love, that letting go of anxiety over, if I don't get over there and tell them what they need to do, hey, once it's done, you can't go back and have them recut that tile. So you better get your fanny over there and tell them how they need to do it, and because you know what's right. Yeah. So again, this is telling us, if I'm willing to wait and just be patient and ask, remember to ask, as Anne was sharing. She's noticing that that forgetting to ask, and I notice that often too, because of course I already know what I want, little self will. There's never going to be any light of understanding in that space. But it's not about, judging that those thoughts seemed to appear. And it's just about, okay, so they're there, let them go. And when you get there, you will know what to do. You will know what to say. And if your intention and your purpose is to be only love, even in an explanation around tile, that will be what is conveyed, only the love. It'll happen as it's supposed to when you get there. I don't have to think about it ahead of time at all. I mean, what the hell? There might not even be anybody when I get there, and I've had this full-blown conversation in my head, giving somebody instructions about what I want. I mean, what a waste of time in my mind when I could have been still, paying attention to a meditation, which is way, way, way more comforting than worrying about some future event that didn't even happen. And I'm doing that during my meditation. But I didn't judge myself. I just, like Anne, like you said, you noticed. I mean, what, oh, I see the guidance, and now I see that I'm resisting the guidance. Same thing. I see during the meditation I'm lost in a future thought, planning, listening to that thinking, planning self. That's not waiting on capital S self. That's, full on attention with, again, those thoughts in that mind that I can't even find when I try. So what am I doing? Nothing. Nothing. And that's what the course refers to as a tragic use of time. Oh my gosh, I see that it's 302. That's perfect. That's perfect, because that was the end of that particular section. And so I read from the top of page 239 to the very top of page 242. I will begin on page 242 next week, and I give up. Oh, wait. Am I done, or is it 3:30? I don't even know. Jacqueline, do you start at 3:30 or 3 o'clock? It's Jacqueline's time. Okay, thanks. Time gets away from me. I'm still adjusting to this time. So sometimes, sorry. Thanks for joining me, guys. I appreciate it. Giving up the mic.